Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd is a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's designcrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. Or just simply enter the discount code HACK when posting a project on DesignCrowd. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest cleared his own path to success with over 30 years of absolute hard work and determination, and it paid off big time. At just 29 and living in his home country of Australia, he decided that a life in public accounting was not for him. He quit his job and went to California to look for a new business idea and also to surf all the legendary California breaks. He soon noticed, though, that there was no sheepskin boots in California. Being the entrepreneur that he is, him and a friend scrounged up $500 and bought 6 pairs when they were back in Australia. They then brought these boots back to California as a test. This was the birth of UGG. You know those boots? We all know those boots, don't we? Well, for the first 13 years, he was crippled by a lack of financing to even purchase the product in order to meet sales demands that he was pushing. Plus, his company was taken from him at one point. Then he gets it back. This is an absolutely crazy story of wins, losses, rags to riches. But he overcame and built an internationally recognized brand. He is now a newly published author with his new book, The Birth of a Brand, Launching Your Entrepreneurial Passion and Soul. This conversation is amazing. Now, let's hack Brian Smith. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur was brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Are you inspired to do something huge? Are you kept awake at night with ideas for new businesses? And do you crave the hustle that comes with starting from the ground up? Concordia University, Wisconsin has a new MBA in innovation and entrepreneurship. It's perfect, whether you want to start your own company or innovate within an existing organization. It has strong focus on making the world a better place through social impact. You'll gain the skills and prestige that come with an MBA while also working on your own business plan. Students even get the opportunity to compete for seed money. It's available 100% online and can be completed in under 2 years. Plus, it's designed for busy professionals. Every student gets a dedicated success advisor who helps you keep your life in balance while you study. Go to onlineinfo.cuw.edu/hack to learn more. If you decide to apply, enter the coupon code HACK and Concordia University, Wisconsin will waive your application fee. All right, we are back on Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have another amazing guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, John.
All right, Brian, let's jump right into this. Brian, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow, that's a big question. Referring back to the UGG period of my life when I started the UGG boot company, the one thing I had was a passion for the product. I just loved sheepskin boots, and it was my job to get them on the feet of every single person on the planet. So I had a good history in Australia of knowing that one in two Australians owned sheepskin footwear, but there was nothing in America. And so it became my passion to, outfit everybody. And that's why I stuck through it through so many hard times.
Excellent. To get them on every person's feet in the world, that's great. Do you think that you can, could you go at a business that hard without the passion for the product though?
It just gets more difficult. I think every good entrepreneur has a certain level of ignorance or even innocence because they have to believe in what they're doing and just be ignorant of all of the problems that are out there ahead of them, because if they knew what was coming, 99% of people wouldn't start. And I think I could have been in that category, because if I had realized how Americans didn't understand sheepskin like Australians do, I would have quit before I even got the first pairs of boots in. But it took that ignorance of thinking, wow, everybody in Australia wears them, so everybody in America will wear them. But Americans thought it was, you know, hot, sweaty, can't get it wet, can't get mud on it, you know, it's too delicate. Whereas Australians know how rugged and washable it is, and you can't even rip it with, you know, a giant couldn't rip a piece of sheepskin apart. It's so tough. So those were the sort of ignorant things that carried me into the business.
Nice. Or else, yeah, you're right. You probably wouldn't, if you knew how much hardship and how many things you had to overcome when you started, you probably wouldn't start.
Yeah. Nobody would know the UGG brand in America today.
Exactly. But now we all do.
Yeah.
What if you had to go back and start UGG boots again? Is there anything now with what you know now, and now having sold the business and gone through the whole process, is there anything you would do differently when you started?
Yeah. I would have done a business plan. And like back then in the early 80s, there wasn't much, you know, computers weren't that big. So there wasn't much software out there. And to write a business plan was really, really cumbersome. And when you're a startup, there's no way you want to invest that sort of time. But now you can go online and there's all sorts of business plan programs that you can buy very cheaply. And they walk you through thinking about production, deliveries, seasonality, cash flow, you know, capital. And now I would have availed myself of all of that, because then I would have realized that instead of starting with a borrowed $500, I would have needed $150,000 to $200,000. But the flip side is you wouldn't know about UGG today if I had been faced with that back then. So I think, to really answer your question, yeah, I would start out with at least reading a business plan and, you know, a program and going through all of the thought process on how, you know, what I can expect from the business.
And yeah, and people are so separated into two, like, say, camps on that. Yeah. Some people still, especially in the startup community, they're very much, you don't waste your time and money on a business plan because you should be taking action and implementing and getting a product to market.
Yep.
The market will tell you if this is a viable business.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but then there are people that still say you absolutely need that business plan because there's so many things you don't think of, you don't know in advance, and it's good to know them in advance. But like you say, at the same time, if you had known you would have needed $150,000, you wouldn't. Again, this would have been something that would have stopped us, the whole world, from knowing about UGG boots.
That's right. I think the best thing is a compromise. You start out, do your thing with your product or your service, whatever it is, as long as you have a really great faith that it's a good thing that everybody needs. And then as you sort of get successful, and that's relative, but as you start to get traction and you want to grow it, that's when you get the business plan, because if you need capital, you're going to have some thinking through of the whole process to attract capital.
Exactly. And what I just want to know, Brian, like, do you ever just sit there, like, already we've been talking for only 5 minutes, you've mentioned two very distinct key exact points where UGG boots could have just never come to light.
Right.
And now literally most of the world knows what an UGG boot is. It's somehow entered so, like, hundreds of millions of people's lives. That's a pretty dramatic thing you did.
It's fantastic.
And yeah, it could have stopped in so many, we've only mentioned two in 5 minutes. Do you ever think that just, wow, there's so many little things that could have just, I could have got sidetracked. Like, we entrepreneurs, we probably just, another idea comes, let's go with that one. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've just written a book called The Birth of a Brand.
Yep.
It just released on Amazon last week. And in that book, there are four times I talk about when I decided to give up on the UGG boot business. And I mean, some of those were when we were doing $2 million in sales.
Wow.
I thought, I just got to get out of this. It's never going to work.
And you got to push through those times, I guess.
Yeah, it's...
is what you've learned.
Yeah. I think I got time for one of those little stories, you know.
That'd be great.
I had taken in three new partners. We'd been doing about $2 million in sales. I'd taken in three new partners to refinance the company. and we were all going to have 25% each of the company. And we moved from San Diego up to Anaheim into a new warehouse. And I left the Anaheim the first morning after we moved and went down to Huntington Surf and Sport to one of my existing customers. And I walked in, he said, "Hey, Brian, heard you sold the business." And I went, "What?" And he says, "Yeah, I just called an order and they said you don't own it anymore." And I went, "What? You're kidding me." And I, you know, finished up with him and I went out to the gas station next door because this is before cell phones. And I said, "What are you, Neil, what are you guys telling everybody?" And he says, "Well, you don't own the company and, you know, you're 25% until you finish that little lawsuit that you're working on. You know, we had a trademark dispute going." And when I read the documentation, you know, I went back straight home down to San Diego, read the documentation and it was, my God. You know, the two clauses were, one, I'd be a sales rep for Southern California, and the other one was, I don't get my stock till I get the trademark free and clear. And like, I went into depression for a couple of days because my dream was building up this huge empire of and being the CEO of this giant company, and suddenly I didn't own it. And I, you know, had to sit down and figure out, okay, what do I do? Do I become a business broker or a real estate agent, or what, you know, what else can I do? And I'd come to love sales, so I decided, you know, I'm going to stick with sales, or what's the best product I could sell? And the revelation was UGG boots. So I decided to, you know, eat humble pie, and I just signed back on as the sales rep for Southern California. Now, I was on the road for a month just having a fun with all my buddies, and, you know, because all the surf retailers were now good friends. And I got back a month later, and Neil handed me a check for $1,000. And he said, "That's your commissions." And then the next month was $5,000. The next month was $10,000. And I'm out there having a really good time, not doing any ordering, any accounting, any, you know, shipping, nothing. Just having a good time, and I'm making all this money. And it occurred to me that sometimes your greatest disappointments become your greatest blessings. And, you know, the disappointment of me losing the company was replaced with me having a fabulous time still in the business and getting, you know, I think I made 50 or 60,000. That's the first time ever I'd pulled money out of the company. So often your most disappointing disappointments become your greatest blessings. And that was one of the things I'd like to pass on to your listeners. You're all going to hit walls and disappointment, but 3 months, 6 months later, you'll all look back and go, "Shit, that was one of the best things that happened."
So that's actually how you got out of the business?
No, that was one time. I actually got the company back a couple of years later through a fluke. So I that was one time I could have given up the business.
Okay.
I was on the point of the, you know, 3 days of meditation. Most of it was about how do I give up and what do I do? So it was a fluke that I got back into it, and a fluke again that a couple of years later I ended up with 100% of the business back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's entrepreneurial, I guess is what we call it.
Yeah. My book is full of these types of stories. It's like, you know, there's no smooth sailing in business, and it's not a straight climb from nothing to big. It's a cruise along flat till you hit an obstacle. And you climb over the obstacle and you're on the next level of the plateau. I look at it as plateaus. And you cruise along again until you hit another obstacle. Then you climb over that. Then you're on the next level of the plateau. And the more you do this, the more you can look back and see, wow, look how far I've come. But it's all about overcoming each obstacle as it hits and not giving up. You know, there's always the apparent defeat that, you know, you're beaten, but you're never beaten until you actually stop and get out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep overcoming the obstacles, you're always climbing.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. So it's not from nothing to big. It's true. So can we go right back to nothing, where you started? Not even UGG boots, but just, I find there's a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world, or, as most of my guests, it seems to be they just can't work for someone else. Can you, Brian, tell me which of those two you are, and then take us back to when you started just and you realized you were an entrepreneur?
Okay. I was a chartered accountant, which in Canada, you know what that is. In America, it's a CPA, and I hated it. And but even when I was, you know, at lunchtimes, I'd be at the sandwich shop and I'd be calculating how many sandwiches were made and how many staff they had and what the rent was. So I was always running numbers about it. Would it be profitable to be in a sandwich shop, you know? And I did that all the time. There came a point, the day I graduated as a chartered accountant after 10 years was the day I quit. And I knew I wanted to be something else. And again, I was meditating. I'd sort of learned about yoga way back then. That was 30 years ago. And I was meditating and I thought, you know, what do I want to do? And it was when I was playing a brand new Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon, the words were tired of lying in the sunshine, staying home to watch the rain. You are young and life is long and there is time to kill today. And I went, wow, that's me. And then the words went on, but then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. And as soon as I heard that, I got these goosebumps and I went, oh my God, I've been running on the spot for 10 years. And so immediately I decided I'm going to go to America and find the next big thing to bring back to Australia, because we had followed a lot of the trends out of California. And so I came to California, and after 3 or 4 months, I hadn't found what I was looking for, but I was reading a surfer magazine and there was an ad in it for sheepskin boots. You know, it was a pair of boots up in front of a fireplace, and I saw the sheepskin boots and I got goosebumps again. And I went, oh my God, that's the answer. There's no sheepskin boots in America. And so the answer to your question is, I started importing, you know, I borrowed $500 with a buddy of mine and we bought 6 pairs, and that was the birth of the business. And in answer to your question, yes, I didn't like working for anybody else, especially as an accountant. And when I saw sheepskin boots, I immediately knew that I was onto something really, really big. And so I actually had both of your answers to your questions.
Ah, nice. I like that. Well played. You're the first one who's had both. I love that.
All right.
So you quit being an accountant and you went to California with the idea to find something that you could then bring to Australia, but you had no background in like importation, say, or setting up a business or marketing or sales at this point. Is this correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Although when I was in accounting, I was in a division called insolvency, which is sort of helping wind up businesses that aren't working very well. Mm-hmm. So I did get to see a bit of the business aspects of it, but I'd never ever done it. It was all seat of the pants right from the beginning. There was never a roadmap.
That's impressive. But did you say set yourself a certain time to go to California? I want to know how this works. How do you just go there and I'm just reading a magazine, a surfer magazine, and there it was.
Well, I quit being an accountant, so I had all the time in the world, you know, and I didn't have much money. In fact, I had very little, but I just was doing a lot of surfing up at Malibu and around, you know, the coastline there of Los Angeles. And time passed very fast, you know. That's just the chronology of how it worked.
Excellent. So you ended up selling, I believe, in 1995?
Yes.
And have you started businesses since then?
Yes, I've been in a couple of, I help a lot of people because I understand business so well now. So I consult with a lot of people just who are in the startup stage. But mostly what I do now is speak and start promoting my book. I've been on stage talking to entrepreneurs from all different colleges. I'm also speaking to small business association groups when they have seminars and expos, and I love the response because I have a theme which is the theme of my book, you can't give birth to adult. And every business, every product, every service is conceived first, and then you take action. Like my action was buying 6 pairs of samples from a factory in Australia. That was the birth of UGG. But then every business goes into this infancy and it just lies there and there's no amount of pushing or feed, you know, overfeeding or jiggling the baby. It's not going to get out of the cradle and go to college. It has to be an infant. And then eventually it'll start toddling, which is a cool stage of the business. You know, people are starting to take notice. And then you hit a youth where you've got a really good consistent sales effort and deliveries and accounting and all that's working well. If it's a really good product or service like UGG was, it'll hit the teenage phase where Everybody wants a bit of it, and it wants to be everywhere at once. And that's a very dangerous phase. And that's when a lot, you know, I almost lost two or three times during that phase. And then eventually you bring the accountants in and the managers, and they put the controls in, and then it becomes sort of a mature company. So by 95, my business had become, was in the late teenage stage, and it, you know, had taken us through a whole tremendous surge of activity, and we were nationwide. But the problem for me was I never really had the financial expertise to in advance know how much money I was going to need for the next year's production, because we were very seasonal. And it was okay when it was $100,000, you know, I could borrow that. If it was $500,000, I could get my vendors to front the money. But when it got up to 10 to 15 million, you know, then I needed serious money. And it turned out that a buddy of mine had taken a company public on Teva sandals. He started out way back when I did. And I knew he had tons of cash around. His company was called Decker's Outdoor Corporation.
Yep.
And I saw Doug in the baggage claim at Atlanta Airport when we were both going to this big trade show called the Super Show. And I looked down the end of the baggage claim, and there he was. And I thought, oh, my God, that's the answer. You know, we had $15 million in orders. I didn't know how I was going to finance the production. And we went down, we met, high-fived each other, and I said, Doug, if ever we're going to do it, now's the time. And, you know, that afternoon, the accountants were talking to each other. So instead of me taking my company public, I just cashed out to a public company, which was clean and fast, and it was a great solution for both of us. His business died every winter. Our business died every summer. It was a perfect fit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is perfect. That's brilliant. So you talk to lots of people starting businesses now, or small businesses, or like young people at school looking to become entrepreneurs. And I find it really interesting, this whole, you going to California, looking for a product and bringing it back. You got the six pairs that birthed UGG boots. Do you think that those kinds of opportunities still exist? Or do you have any, maybe in your mind, of like, I wonder if you went to this part of the world and brought something, whatever that might be, you have to go there and look like you did, and bring it back to another part of the world.
Well, Christopher Columbus did it. And it started then, and it's never stopped since, and I can't see it ever stopping. There's always inventions going on all over the world, and if you can happen upon one of those inventions and realize, oh my God, it's not back home, there's an opportunity for a business. But there's another way of looking at it. I once asked a good friend of mine, he was a very successful manufacturer and very inventive. And I said to him, Richard, what, you know, how do you know what to do? And he gave me the most simple but true piece of advice. And he said, Brian, figure out what you can do better than anybody else and then do it. And if you remain the best, you cannot help but make money and be a success. And I've given that advice to a lot of people, and I've watched them, you know, figure out, you know, what it is that they can do. You know, some were writers, some were, you know, copywriters, some were, one woman had a, she loved making this granola. She said it was the best granola in the world. And so I figured out how to help her start a business. And now she's totally self-supporting and loving her life. And even if you're not the best now, if you love what it is and you really want to get to know more about it, and you say, you know, bit by bit you become an expert, you will end up making money at it. You'll start a little business and it'll grow, and other people will be drawn to you. And, you know, there's a great rule in the universe. You know, the minute you start out on a path, the universe conspires to work with you, you know. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again with people who had no clue, figured out a hobby that they liked and decided just to go and follow that path and be really, really good at it. And they've all sort of started to make a living out of it.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. And I fully agree, Brian, that when you do start on that path, the universe definitely conspires to help you.
Yeah.
So let's end off with success and the future, if we could. If you've done a lot of stuff, you've made a big mark, at least from my standpoint, you have. I want to see what you think. If your career,
thank you. Yeah.
If Brian, your career, say, just through some terrible thing, it was to end today, would you be happy with the legacy that you've got to leave behind so far?
Well, that's a great question. I've thought about that, and it's funny, but you know, the things that you would think of pinnacles in your life, like I played rugby against England, I played rugby against New Zealand, I've started the UGG boot company, and I do love it every time I go out in the world and I see people wearing UGG boots, and I know that I've helped people's feet. But my biggest legacy, if I was on my deathbed and said, okay, what was really meaningful? It wasn't the money and it wasn't the fame or anything like that. My biggest legacy would be that I volunteer coached San Diego State rugby team back when I first came to America in the early 80s. And then last year I was at a field watching all the under 10s, under 12s, under 14s playing, thousands of them in San Diego that were being coached by all the guys that I coached. And I thought, now there's a legacy. And it comes back to acts of service. You know, that was purely voluntary, unpaid coaching right from the beginning. And when you see the number of lives you touched, there were thousands of kids in San Diego. Now it's the biggest growing sport. And that to me means more than the money I ever made out of UGG boots.
I love it. Very, very well said, sir. Brian, we've talked a lot about you. We've talked about your new book briefly. Can you just leave my audience and give them a place they can find out about you and your book more?
Sure. You can go to my website, which is briansmithspeaker.com. Pretty simple, Brian Smith Speaker. And that will lead you to purchasing a book through Amazon where it's available. It went on Amazon last Tuesday. And the book is called The Birth of a Brand, which again is pretty simple. If you remember UGG, just remember The Birth of a Brand. And it's what you and I just talked about in a half hour is 1/50th of what's in the book. It's a real roller coaster. And it's not about profitability or being a better leader, none of that boring stuff. This is real stories from the trenches, and all my friends call it a page turner.
I love it. I haven't got to read your book yet, but after speaking to you for this half hour, I am definitely going to, and I strongly recommend everybody out there listening to do the same.
Great, thanks.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes for everyone, so to Brian's website and to his book, so you can find both very, very easy and go find out more from this man, because I think you have a lot to teach, Brian. So,
hey, thanks a lot, John.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I truly appreciate it, Brian.
Okay, good luck.
Brian Smith, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me and for sharing so much and absolutely boggling my mind with the number of defeats you went through and you didn't give up. It blows my mind. And of course, it's great to look at it now because UGG is this international brand, and it's probably, I mean, you don't know that. I mean, he didn't know that that's how it would end up. I mean, you have this vision as an entrepreneur, and I so truly admire what you did and what you went through to get there. And now you seem to be sitting at a great place, getting to enjoy it after the fact. So thank you so much, Brian. I haven't read his book yet, but it is on my Kindle already, and I am getting to it. I have, I think, 8 books right now I'm reading. It's insane, but it's, I guess, what I do at night. So I am going to get to it because just what I learned in this half hour was impressive, and I really do want to hear the whole story, and I recommend you going to the hacktheentrepreneur.com, find Brian Smith, and pick up the book. I'll put a link to it there for you. He said some interesting things, didn't he? He did. He said some very, very interesting things. And he said one thing. He said that one thing. Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
And it's not a straight climb from nothing to big. It's a cruise along flat till you hit an obstacle. And you climb over the obstacle and you're on the next level of the plateau. I look at it as plateaus. And you cruise along again until you hit another obstacle. Then you climb over that. Then you're on the next level of the plateau. And the more you do this, the more you can look back and see, wow, look how far I've come. But it's all about overcoming each obstacle as it hits and not giving up.
And that's the hack. So well said, Brian. And so very, very true. This, I guess this reminds me, well, it's like anything, right? It's as you climb these plateaus, it's interesting because it's a big obstacle and there is no smooth sailing, Brian, and it's always going to be an obstacle in our way. And not just in business, but in everything, right? But if I climb up that and I get to the next plateau, when I go to climb the next obstacle that gets in my way, even if I fall during that, I land on that plateau that I was just on. I don't go to the very beginning. I always found it interesting, like growing up and like when I was younger and I'd read some like business books when I didn't even like run businesses, but I was kind of fascinated by it. And what's his name? Donald Trump. He would like build all these crazy like hotels and buildings and stuff. And then he'd go completely bankrupt. And then all of a sudden you'd hear about him in the news. He's building like the Taj Mahal, or like some crazy thing that was like, how do you go from like bankrupt to doing this? It's because he always falls to that plateau that he was just on. Or when I'm playing drums, if like I spent 15 years or 20 years now playing drums, if I go away on a trip for 3 months, I unfortunately don't get to play drums at that time. But when I come back 3 months later, even though I have not touched a set of drumsticks, I know how to play. I mean, I'm probably a little bit rusty and my muscles won't quite work the way they're supposed to, but within a day or two, it's like, there we are, I'm back. Isn't that interesting? That's a cool concept, right? And I mean, you can think about anything in your life that you do well, and when you stop doing it, or when you fall off a bike, you get back on it after your injury's healed, you don't have to learn how to ride a bike again. So it's an interesting way to look at obstacles that are going to constantly come up in your business. It's not because you have any particular issue with you or something. That's just how business is. That's how life is in general, actually, isn't it? Everything seems to be going well, and then something hits you in life that just kind of sideswipes you, and you have to get over it. And I love the analogy of the plateaus, because I hadn't really thought about it in that way, but it's absolutely true. You fall back down to that plateau, so it's just a struggle to get to the next one. But then once you're there, you're safely there, and then you just got to pound through the next obstacles, and there's still going to be more. But I love that, Brian, because obviously you've been through some crazy obstacles, crazier obstacles than most of us will ever have to deal with. And I just truly appreciate you sharing that with us. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. It always, always is. HackTheEntrepreneur.com. If you haven't checked out the website, get on the email list. It's fun. And HTE Insider, I forgot, did I mention it? It's the group, mastermind group, 25 people. We have, I believe, 15 people right now, and it just starts yesterday. If you hear this, when it is, this is mid-January, and it's just starting now. I'm putting 25 people in, so I have, I think, 10 spots left. If you want your spot, hacktheentrepreneur.com/insider. Check it out. See if it's right for you. Drop me an email, John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you have any questions, and if I can help you with anything. But yeah, join the group. The group is full of amazing people, and we're all working together. We're masterminding to push each other forward to do some really cool stuff coming into this new year. So that's it. Brian, again, thank you. And thank you out there listening. I so appreciate you taking this time to spend with me and this time with Brian. I really do appreciate it. And I'm just so thankful that you're out there. So thank you very much. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.